Good morning, citizen lobbyist.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine. We've had some great people in to talk. We talked about quitting smoking and why quitting is a good thing. I don't know if you caught any of that. Julie Hopkins was in. And we also talked about the Colony High School Marching Band, which has an event coming up. And so it's just been a very nice morning. Following, of course, we started out with John Robertson, and we were reflecting on whether anything that was happening on the East Coast, particularly in the elections on Tuesday, would affect us here. But
what I want to know from John Robertson, I missed that. I was probably in the shower. How is the road to Anchorage today, since I'm going to be on it in a little bit?
Well, he's not going all the way in, but he did due diligence, and he checked Waze. And it looked like if you're going into Anchorage, going in early is good. The interesting question is what it's going to be like if you're coming out at the peak traffic time, say, after 4 p.m. today, because everything that I see here projects snow, not blizzard conditions, but certainly snow coming down through most of the day until that time. And so there is a suggestion that if you were coming out of town, you may either want to come a little early or stay a little later. We'll see how that develops.
Well, I'll let you know. I'm going to try to come back a little early, but you just never know. And there goes the whistle, so we should get started, Mike.
Yes, and of course, our focus is on Tuesday when we had this great meeting at the Borough Assembly Chambers. Go for it.
So, yeah, we did have a meeting at the Borough Assembly, and everybody was in their chairs, which is nice to see them all there and attentive. Regular Pledge of Allegiance kicked things off. Nothing special, no special announcements there. Mayor Cottle gave the first report. And we should talk about this a little bit, Mike. It's about the plastic bag ordinance.
Right. We were jumping ahead of the game.
We were, or you were.
Mea culpa. Yes.
So the introduction to the Wasilla City Council will be on November 27th with an action date on December 11th. And I think there has been some public awareness, maybe workshops and that sort of thing, the work sessions that may have got everybody a little ahead of the game, but they still really have not taken a vote on it.
Right.
Nor did he say how that would go. But those are the dates we're looking for, November 27th, and with an action of December 7th, 11th. So maybe we'll see. No promises. Maybe I can wander over to that meeting, but we'll see what happens there. He talked about the Veterans Day celebration at Glen Massey, which is starting at Friday at noon, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of legislators and such there. I heard that at least Senator Murkowski may be there, but I'm not sure. Saturday at the Wall, they're also having a Veterans celebration starting at 11 a.m. And then again, the Frontline Mission, the Thanksgiving that they do at Menard Center starts at 3 p.m. on Thanksgiving Day. I'm sure we'll hear more about that. They provide even free rides to go. So pretty good report there from Mayor Cottle. City of Palmer was having a budget hearing.
That's right.
Which I had forgotten about. So that's why we had no report from the city manager, because he was front and center over there. No report, although there was someone from the school district there. There was no report. They had a small little report from a joint assembly school board committee on school issues that took place on Monday. They've been meeting monthly for probably 5 years now. They've decided now, because there's not a lot going on as far as new schools and bonds and that sort of thing, they're going to cut back those meetings to 4 times a year. But in this meeting, they did talk about enrollment. There is going to be a little bit of a shortfall above last year, but below projections. So just again, it's a tough deal for this school district. They have to project what their numbers are this month or last month in October, what they will be next year for enrollment. Pretty tough to do in this economy. And they're usually very, very close and hardly ever, I don't remember them going over for quite a long time. So I don't know what those numbers are going to be like. I'm sure we'll have a report from superintendent in a coming up school meeting, and we'll know a little bit more about that.
Right.
So that was kind of it. They are. There was a comment from Assemblymember Sykes about he had asked the district for a summary on what had happened with the testing. Everybody was concerned about test scores, and he had received that and distributed it to assembly members, so they're more informed. So that was good. Not much from manager comments this time. He kept them really pretty darn brief.
Yes, he did.
They did introduce a new transportation planner. He is just graduated, has a master's in city and regional planning from Cornell College. He is going to live right down the street from me, actually, Mike, in downtown Palmer. So he's embracing being in Palmer, a young guy and his wife. So welcome them to Alaska, and that will be great to have someone. I think Mayor Cottle made a little snide remark about him getting a master's in city and regional planning and moving to a place that had no zoning. But he'll bring some good eyes and expertise into that with some current things. So.
And just a comment about that, many people have remembered that there has been, over the years, pushback against sometimes even the use of the word zoning. But the reality is, particularly in the cities, there's quite a bit of planning and accompanying that, zoning, if you will. And the same is true for the borough. It's not as if it's a Wild West situation.
Well, I guess in comparison to other places, it is a bit of a Wild West situation. But we have some land use ordinances in the borough, but nothing that would even come close to what most areas have as far as zoning. We are pretty light in regulation next to
Absolutely, but I just would still say, and maybe that's something we'll do in one of the next times, is to come in, because I've heard these discussions, and when you sit down and say, I know there are people that feel any regulations are too many, and others that feel that we are very, very light in regulations, but I think when we walk through, we would find that particularly where we have dense population and arguably, those are the cities. There is considerable regulation, and many would say appropriate because of the density of the population. But, yeah, that's a discussion for another time. Okay.
Yeah, well, and that's the point, not to belabor this, but it is working in those areas, because as you become denser, you have to have a few good rules, or you're going to have nothing but problems. And that's what we're facing in the rest of the borough.
Right.
As we split in this vast area of 2,500 square miles. So that was kind of it. Clerk introduced a couple of new employees into her staff of people replaced who have retired. The attorney didn't have much to say. So that was kind of all those preliminary things got out of the way really quick, Mike.
And we could focus on what I remember to be two major things that were discussed, but go for it.
Well, first, you go first, please. What was yours?
And I'm not sure, let's see, in chronological or the first one that I thought, and here I'm going to seek your help as well, and this had to do with a resolution that the borough assembly was being asked to send to the legislature as they continue to work on changes to SB 91. And I listened to that. I first of all, I said, I'm not sure, given the history of resolutions that the assembly has passed and sent off, what the intention always is. Because SB 91, just briefly, was a very complicated process that led to the passage of the legislation. And at the present time, more intensely, in a shorter time, there's been proposed piece of legislation by the House that's been sent off to the Senate that is intending to change some of those things that people had found maybe weren't working well in 91. And this I have to stress, is complicated. So when the Assembly steps up and says, we want to tell you to do something, I'm not sure what it is they're saying. I heard it initially the discussion around just repeal 91, but that doesn't solve the problem. So help me out here.
Yeah, I wish I could. I got a little confused with it, too. I think there was an overall concern from several assembly members about the timing of it, because, you know, there's a qualification of when when assembly members have to get something to the clerk, get it advertised, and get it out. And, you know, it was pretty clear that Mayfield, who was the sponsor of the piece of legislation and who had done a lot of door knocking, some 500 or 600 doors, was just getting hammered by hearing about crime being a concern. Now, his area is Big Lake and up KGB Road and up in that area, which they have had have no police protection other than state troopers and had a lot of theft and other problems up there. And he had made a statement during and the debates that he was in a very tough assembly race there, saying that he would be, because this is what he was hearing from constituents, he would be in support of throwing out SB 91 criminal reform. So that was being done during that election cycle that was open over in early October. But since then, there has the Senate, in the fourth special session, the House has gone to work in the SB 54, which was brought by the House last year to make some changes to SB 50, or the criminal reform bill, SB 91. This is where it gets confusing, but didn't get any legs. So they worked on that. So they were working on all these reforms. So it was still cooking. So I think there was some angst at the table to begin with that they were going to throw this out with nothing to replace it, because we all know there is a crime problem and it needs to be solved. It wasn't working before any bills were passed. Now there's a lot of angst that it's not working before, although there is also a lot of data showing that it is working in some areas, not so much in other areas. So there was some testimony, I thought, earlier there, Mike, that we probably should talk. A young former Senator Stoltz was there.
Right.
We see him out often. And he was vehemently, he was opposed to SB 91 back when the Senate originally voted when he was in office. He is still against it, and he is part of the Parson Party of the people that have been screaming the loudest about getting rid of SB 91. He was there to tell him his thoughts in support of Mayfield's piece of legislation.
Right, and then there was a young woman, Eileen Patterson, who spoke.
Yeah, and she is, you know, a young woman, but very active. She's on the Valley Charities Board. She's an Army veteran. She works at Healthcare Access for Addiction, and she has, you know, she finds a lot of problems with repealing this. She said it's the same people that are calling, which I think the most excellent point she made, are the same people that are, you know, calling for a smaller government advocacy are proponents of big prison advocacies. So you don't want to spend money on government, but you don't mind spending a whole bunch more money on prison, which is why SB 91 came to pass anyway, was to cut down the enormous amount of money that we spent on prisons, which the school budgets dwarf. So she made some very, very good points. But they went back and forth at the table. There were several amendments that were brought in. I thought Assemblywoman Doty had a good amendment talking about that they could go ahead and repeal it, but them to promote substance and mental health treatment in anything new, basically, and transitional programs, and the things that didn't really get fully implemented in 91. That didn't find any love on the board, on the assembly, which kind of surprised me. Assemblymember Sykes also made an amendment that didn't seem to go very far. And then in the end, Mayfield amended his, too, just with some language about sort of saying, go ahead and repeal this, but encourage them to enact separate legislation and provide funding. So it's like, throw this out, but do something and provide funding for things that really make a difference to people.
Well,
I guess it goes back to the same thing. They spent a lot of time on it. It was there for several reasons. At the end of the day, does this make much of an impact, these resolutions? It's not anything in law. As it was pointed out, I think even the attorney pointed out, the borough has no, it doesn't have a police force, doesn't have those type of powers. But they do have an obligation, even though they don't have the powers, an obligation they feel to protect their citizens. So it's a strong message. It would seem it's supposed to be a strong message to the legislature, this is what you should do for my area. Now, whether that will play into the final result, I don't find that all that useful, but there was a lot of discussion on it.
I think you did a good job in a very complicated thing. But I'm still back to, and you mentioned the question of, if the assembly passes a resolution, should they not have a very specific intention other than to say do good work, which seems to be, if you're just saying something in general terms, why are you even, you know, you're just encouraging the legislature to do what they're supposed to do. But in this particular case, this resolution suggested that a number of things that I'm not certain is entirely accurate, and I would look for the sourcing of their information. For example, one of the whereases it suggests that SB 91 is viewed by the majority of citizens as a soft on crime bill.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, okay, I think when the young woman stood up and spoke, I took away from her testimony saying, Assembly, have you done your homework? Have you done due diligence in preparing this resolution? Because she has said, I have been there. I have read the bill. Have each one of you up there, could you have a discussion about SB 91? Or are you, as I think you nicely suggested, Terry, there are Assembly people who have heard from people real concerns about crime and have drawn a line to SB 91, which may or may not be an accurate description of what's going on. And so I'm bothered by when I read this to say something, SB 91 is clearly not working as a deterrent to crime. Well, show me the data that supports that other than anecdotal information, which is important, but is only part of the picture.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Mike. I would say that the only thing I'd add to that, as far as these resolutions have to go, the ones urging them to do something positive or supporting something, a bill that's there, are much easier to do than something where you're actually pointing your finger at the legislature and saying you passed a bad bill and now I want you to do this about it. I think those are harder tasks.
Right.
For an instance, you know, they passed a resolution last year in support of a smoke-free workplaces, a bill that's now languishing for the last committee after 5 years in House Judiciary, waiting for a floor vote in the House before it'll pass both House, both bodies. But it was easy to do that for them because the legislation was very clear. It was completely compatible to something that they already were all in support of. So it was easy for them to do. I think that's easier than this type of a thing. And this is probably one of the most politically charged issues that we've had. In fact, I think Senator Stoltz said that he can ever remember coming in front of everybody. There is so much misinformation. People overall, and as Ms. Patterson pointed out, don't understand the prison system, the cost, the problems, why people go back into jail, the huge social problems that are come from people being in and out of jail. They just don't know that. They just know this is their problem, and that is that there are thieves out there. And she also made a good point, although Senator Schultz didn't make this, that the economy, it's been a perfect storm of a really bad economy hitting an opiate problem and an other drug problem, and it's created a lot of the crime. And this is a bill, when you change and reform your criminal system, it's not just for a period of time that you're experiencing. It'll sit there for 20 or 30 years and guide your prison system and guide your treatment system and all those things. So it is confusing, and I just think it's symptomatic of a lot of people in pain from experiences of people that they either know or have heard about, and it's some of it is unfounded fear, and nobody, as you've pointed out, has taken the time to read the original bill or the revisions that were passed in the House in the dark of night last week. And in fact, that's some of the criticism that we're hearing from people, is that the House passed these bills and these amendments were forced, some almost 200 amendments on one bill were forced on them, and some of them were accepted without knowing what the costs are. I think Senator Costello has pointed that out. And I think that's a good point, because Dalton, you know, they did the criminal reform not just, to help people, but it was about the dollar is why this whole thing was done. And to pass those amendments and not know what the impact is because you haven't heard from the professionals is a little scary. So we'll see what happens from here on out. But again, and we're back to the same point, Mike, does it really make a difference at the end of the day other than to make people in the borough say, yes, my assembly stuck up for something that I believe.
Okay. Well, let's move on to, we have time enough, I believe, to cover the second biggest thing that happened. And that had to do with the removal of some language from Title 19. You want to take a stab at that?
Title 47,
there were two or three titles thrown around, but basically it had to do with the planning board's guidance as to what it could do and whether it was going to be restricted or not. There's history there.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Oh, you're talking about, I thought you were talking about the subdivision code that changed.
No, I was talking about the planning board, because that one seemed to get a focus of a concern initially. And briefly, what as I understood it happened, is that there had been some changes some years ago to Title 19, and all these titles are intertwined with others as well. But basically, the description of what the planning board can and should do, and including there was changes made a few years ago that included language that tended to restrict the planning board to almost a checklist. Mm-hmm. As time went on, there were a number of problems that was suggested developed as a result of having that language in there. So what was being offered is the removal of the language that allowed the planning board to take into consideration things that were in the cities, for example, or the federal statutes, or just the larger plans for transportation, et cetera, rather than saying, well, we're just looking at this one little plat and we're going to approve it because it's okay, even though it might be in the way of something important in terms of the whole region. And so initially, I think there was one person who came up and spoke, a real estate person, and there were people in the back who represented surveyors and perhaps developers, but the assembly called for a staff report, and Eileen Probasco stepped up, and in response to the questions regarding has this language been a problem, she basically said yes and then outlined some of what happened. And I thought, I was expecting other people to come forward, but no one did, and so the vote was called for, and if I remember correctly, it was passed to remove that language 6-1. Is that correct?
With George McKee against it?
Yes. Yeah. I think that's what happened. And that was...
I'm going to have to rely on you, but I'll go back and listen to that. Oh, that was when I was out having a conversation with Senator Stoltz, so I missed a lot of that testimony. But the documentation is there, and I'll listen to the tape of it before we talk next time, Mike, and
okay.
make sure we clarified it. But just the passage of the Assembly amending Title 43 of subdivisions also passed.
Right.
Which was quite a surprise. I thought we'd have a lot of testimony considering who the people were in the room on that. I think even Ms. Tabasco was a little surprised, too. Although the long-range transportation plan got kicked down the road to December 5th when Assembly Member Sykes said, you know, I've been trying to read this, but it's, I don't remember how many hundreds of pages of documents it is, and I'm going to fess up. I haven't gotten completely through it, and this makes a big difference of what we're doing here. It's our 50-year look ahead. And he asked if any other Assembly Member had, and I didn't hear anybody see anybody raise their hand. So they have kicked that one down the road, probably for good reason. So that was the only thing I was going to point out with that. But all in all, Mike, we were out of there by 8:30, which is pretty amazing.
Yes, indeed.
They did have a lot of, to an advantage, they had a bunch of things on the Assembly that were about road service areas getting last end of the year funding, moving some money into those so that they'd have some money in there to align some projects for next year. So that they grouped all of those together and didn't have individual hearings, which is really very nice for that. So
okay.
There was one little thing at the very end with Assembly Member Sykes trying to talk about having some type of a session on hearing about crime. It didn't seem like he got a lot of love from the Assembly about holding some type of community meeting about that. They kicked that down the road to have a firm conversation about that till the 5th, too. So that was brought up. And then there was also concerns at the very end by the mayor about the ski chalet and Government Peak going under new management, and he wanted to make sure that high school kids and the junior high kids had complete access to it in the contract. He wanted to make that publicly known. So that was it. We were out of there at 8:02, Mike.
Right. And anyone who wants to listen to all of the detail and confirm those details can go to Ray Free Palmer's website because the recording is up there.
Terrific.
All right. Well, have a good day. Yeah. Take care.
All right.
And that's the end of another session with the Citizen Lobbyist.